Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live today from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in College Hill. We're on the north side of St. Louis in the College Hill neighborhood, and we have some great conversation. I hope you got to join us for some of the conversation earlier today as we studied the Word of God today with Pastor Dave Andrews here at St. Paul. And we also got to talk with Terry Rose, a lifelong member here at St. Paul College Hill. If you didn't catch those today, I encourage you to go to our website. Should be up by tomorrow, and look for the archives of his time later on and hear some of those conversations as well. And today's program will be recorded and placed in the archives very soon as well, so that you can share this with all your friends, because we have some great things to share today about what's going on here at St. Paul's College Hill. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Joining me here at St. Paul's in College Hill today, around the table, we've got Nicole Ridley with Lutheran Housing Support. Nicole, thanks so much for spending some time with us here today. It's so fun to get out and be on site.
Thanks for inviting us.
It's glad to I'm so glad to have this time and to be outside of the glass, on the other side of the glass today, out in the community and learning more about the College Hill neighborhood. Also joining us today, Gail Olson. And Gail, you serve as a volunteer with Lutheran Housing Support?
Yes, I've been a volunteer for, 11, 12 years now.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have this time talking with you here at St. Paul today. Can't wait to hear more from you.
Thank you for having me.
And Fred Kimbrough with Lutheran Housing Support. Fred, yes. Looking forward to chatting with you today. Thanks for coming over.
Always my pleasure.
Well, what brings us to College Hill and this congregation, St. Paul Lutheran Church? What brings us here? We talked with Terry Rose earlier, a member, and family goes back generations here at St. Paul, and talking mm-hmm. about the neighborhood. And shared with us, she shared with me earlier that the partnership with Lutheran Housing Support, I think she mentioned, started around 2007. Gail, do you know much about when that partnership began and what the early days looked like as St. Paul and Lutheran Housing Support formed this friendship?
I do. You know what? It was so dynamic. I am just blessed to really have been a part of that and to be able to see what has gone on. In the early stages, St. Paul, I know, had come to the Lutheran Housing Corporation needing assistance and looking for assistance on a way that they can make a difference in the community. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be a center where they could share God's love with the residents of the community, and it has just grown exponentially since then.
2007, what did things look like in 2007? What describe what the community was there community here?
You know, what I saw when I would come into the community was much deterioration, and I would be there and I would think, you know, how can people live in a community like this where they're scared to walk outside their door, where there are no services, where people really did not know where to go for any kind of a future. Mm-hmm. And today, I see so much hope, and I see residents that are saying, you know what, the Lutheran Church is here, and they're here to stay. They haven't left like a lot of other people have, but they're here, and we are so grateful for that.
And St. Paul's has been pressing on all along, as you said, the Lutheran Church has been a part of this neighborhood, a part of this community for some time, and not given up. Gonna continue to press on, and it's great to see that. Thanks be to God. We're sitting in this beautiful sanctuary in the back of the nave today, and just a beautiful sanctuary here in the neighborhood. A huge church. I'm sure this congregation has a really neat history as well. I know later on we'll get to talk with Vicar Jim Kirschman a little bit about his service here, and I know his family has some history here as well, so we'll learn a little bit more about the history of this congregation here, St. Paul's in College Hill. Well, obviously today, not a packed house here in the sanctuary today on a weekday, but I understand that it'll be a little bit busier later on today with some new ways that St. Paul's is engaging the community and serving the community. We'll talk with Vicar about that later on, about connecting with the community here. Gail, you've been here, been a part of this all along. How have you seen things grow in that partnership through the years since 2007?
I think the biggest difference that I have seen are the number of partners that mm-hmm. have come into this community. When I first was introduced, not many people knew about College Hill, where it was, or the condition that it was in. But today, there are numerous agencies that are all working together, and that's what it takes. A one agency, one group can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. But together, we can make a huge difference, and I've seen that change evolve over the past 10, 12 years.
Nicole, for our listeners not familiar with Lutheran Housing Support and the partnerships that you have with congregations and other organizations, give us a little bit of the history of Lutheran Housing Support and what you're all about today.
Well, Lutheran Housing Support supports congregations, districts, and social ministries that are interested in community development work around their altars in their communities. And we also support that work in collaboration with community partners. We do that in a variety of ways. Every community is different. Mm-hmm. But what we do is lend our in-house expertise and our community development experience to assist these congregations and our LCMS partners. And that could be if they have a desire to install community gardens. It could be that project that small, or it could be as large as the acquisition of a vacant and abandoned building, a school building, and transforming that into a community center or a senior facility. So really working with our LCMS partners to identify what their unmet needs are, mm-hmm. helping to identify what those unmet needs are, and then convening community partners, identifying resources to help facilitate that process. And then, you know, really helping that congregation or LCMS entity to mm-hmm. identify what their role is and then moving that project along. That is kind of what we do.
Well, tell us about the in-house expertise that you were just starting to describe for us there. Who makes up Lutheran Housing Support? What things do you bring to the table in terms of in-house expertise? You mentioned identifying and helping the congregations with a small project or a big project. How do you go about that? Who's behind the scenes on that? Obviously you, and I know Fred here, and you have volunteers as well.
So it would be Fred, Fred Kimbrough, who is the Director of Projects and Lending. Fred has 25 years plus of experience from a variety of, he has a variety of experiences as it relates to community development. So he's been involved in lending activities, and I can let him expound, but he's been involved in lending, construction, mm-hmm. Community organizing, home buyer education counseling. His experience runs the gamut. And then there is myself, who serves as the chief executive, and I have been involved in a variety of community development activities, from lending, community lending, loan servicing, loan mm-hmm. processing, construction, financing, development, rehab, commercial development. So we actually have a lot of experiences in this work, and so we share those experiences and expertise with our LCMS partners around the United States to help them think through mm-hmm. and delve into what it is that they'd like to do.
Because often what you find, Andy, is that the churches want to do work around the neighborhoods that they are set up in, but they don't often have the expertise. And so when they come to us and say, we'd like to do some housing, that's kind of where our experience and expertise come into play. And sometimes, you know, they don't know. So maybe we say, well, how about trying to do a gospel seeds? And so we may bring in someone like Carlos Hernandez
sure.
Through Office of National Mission to do those types of things.
Let's unpack that a little bit.
Yes.
Gospel seeds.
Yes.
What
yes.
gospel seeds? Tell us
well,
about
Well, gospel
that.
Seeds actually was started by Carlos Hernandez mm-hmm. in the Office of National Mission, and it was a way for him to get churches out of the sanctuary into the neighborhoods and the community and to meet the neighbors. And not so much, of course, you want them to come and be a part of the church, but just to say, hey, we're here and we're here to help. mm-hmm. now, and regardless to if you are a member or not, we want to engage in the community. We want to see what you feel the community is missing, and then bring, hopefully, be able to help facilitate some of those things that aren't there, which is very similar to the mission of Lutheran Housing Support. When we came into the neighborhood back in 2007, the neighbors mentioned several things, and they talked about the lack of housing, a lack of assistance to fix up homes, safety, activities for children. It was just a plethora of things, job opportunities, you know, the normal things that mm-hmm. you see in urban settings. And so what we've tried to do since we've been here is to facilitate those things that, number one, the community said they wanted. It wasn't just us saying, we think this is the right thing.
Sure.
We wanted to, so we did charrettes to get the viewpoint of the citizens, because that's what it's all about, right?
No, now you have to unpack another thing.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I'm good at unpacking.
All right. Charrettes, what's that?
Well, that is just bringing people together to talk about problems in an organized fashion.
All right.
It's a fancy name. Saying we're coming together to speak.
Community meetings.
That's all it is.
All right. See, I learn something new every day.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all. I didn't know what it was either until I started working with Nicole. And we always sit at a community meeting, so. Yeah. But I come from the public sector.
It was a great event. I was fortunately able to be there at that charrette, so it was wonderful to see all the residents come together.
And we now, how do you go about something like that? Because I could see if things don't look very hopeful, mm-hmm. and you bring a bunch of people together in a community where things aren't looking the best.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that looking? How do you keep moving forward so that there is hope for something down the road, so that there is hope for what we're doing right now?
I'm going to jump in because I think this is something, since I've been here, I'm almost 3 years now, and what we have been told a lot of is that you all have done what you said you would do. Because a lot of times the reason that people don't have hope is because they received a lot of promises in the past about outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, for various reasons, you know, there's good intent, but it's hard to be a nonprofit organization because you're dealing with tight budgets, tight resources to execute on those visions. And so we have been blessed enough to receive a lot of good funding that's enabled us to actually put these thoughts into action. So to do repair at this point over 100 mm-hmm. homes in the College Hill community, minor to major, to actually be able to put together a neighborhood organization that meets here at St. Paul, the campaign for College Hill, to be able to actually start building homes, which was the big thing that everybody was waiting on. So the last couple of years we've been working on that front, to form partnerships with other nonprofit organizations to continue to develop and grow, and big picture, ultimately, to help develop a comprehensive plan for the neighborhood with input from the citizens and the stakeholders so that we can actually leave this far better than when we all came here.
Absolutely. And I would say to set, if outside of College Hill, if you're interested in this kind of work and you start with the planning process, the biggest I think component to continuing to build hope would be to set little wins. So a lot of times the vision is mm-hmm. so large and the outcomes are so great that it's hard to aspire and get to
sure.
those. So we always encourage to set those small wins.
So what I hear you saying is, first, when you assess, when you learn what the needs are of the community, that you set realistic goals.
Realistic
goals that can be accomplished with the means that the Lord has provided.
Absolutely.
And as you see those goals, as you reach those goals, you celebrate them.
Absolutely.
You celebrate them as a community, and that continues. That provides momentum
mm-hmm.
as you look on for future goals and maybe even bigger goals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For instance, this June 6th,
mm-hmm.
we hosted a peace walk, and that was in collaboration with College Hill Foundation, also St. Paul's Lutheran. And really, that peace walk was one to celebrate all the good things that have transpired in these last 8 years, but also to pray for the challenges that we still are faced with in this community, and pray for the residents and the challenges that they have and they face on a daily basis. So it was a time for rejoicing, mm-hmm. and a continued time to pray.
Let's talk about those good things that you've seen come about, that, you know, that walk was celebrating. What are some of the things that you've seen happen here that Lutheran Housing Support has been a part of, that St. Paul College Hill has been a part of, that have happened over those years? What are some of those little wins that we talk about?
Well, I for example, back in, I guess, May, we had a neighborhood cleanup. And that's something that we worked on with other partners, St. Paul, Review, West Florissant Neighborhood Organization, and Grace Hill, which is a major social service provider in our neighborhood. And had seen residents come out, seeing volunteers come out from everywhere to embrace the community, engaging other Lutheran churches mm-hmm. to come into the neighborhood and assist us with the work, because you can't do all this by yourself. To me, that's a victory, because when you look at this setting, not much different than a lot of other city and urban settings, you don't always have enough resources. So to be able to bring other people in when nobody, as Gail was saying, was engaged mm-hmm. back when all of this first started, and to now see all of the growth, all of the goodwill,
sure.
all of that, to me, that's a major thing. One thing I don't think we talked about the last time I was on the air, we received a grant through Wells Fargo and NeighborWorks called the Urban Lift Grant. And we actually, through our aggressiveness, yes, I know we have to be aggressive out here to find this money, what we were able to secure non-federal funding to tear down 9 structures. Now, that's big in communities like this, because mm-hmm. I don't know, when you came in, you can see the dilapidated buildings. So we just keep working hard to accomplish things, and we take them as they come. Then things just fall into our lap sometimes that we weren't expecting, and we get blessed with that. Mm-hmm. You know, the last time we talked about Gail with Women on Mission, which she's the immediate past president of. And they've been big partners over here in the work that we do in terms of helping our home buyers. They provide down payment assistance and also money to do home buyer education training for those potential buyers. And now they're helping us do some other things around neighborhood security. I mean, so there's so much, you know, it's hard to keep it, you know, confined, but mm-hmm. I think we're just a little organization that can. That's the way I always like to,
sure.
to look at us.
Well, we're talking about, this is 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
To have the persistence, the momentum, mm-hmm. to keep going, and as you see these things happening. Gail, what are some of the small wins, the small things that you've seen along the way to celebrate?
Well, for me, I love hearing from the residents, and I love seeing what the residents can do. At our last annual meeting, Nicole was actually telling me about this, because I saw part of it, but a resident happened to be at the Women on Mission annual meeting, and she knew that Women on Mission gave grants around the city. What she didn't realize was that it was only to College Hill. And when she heard that, she just started crying. And I don't want her to cry, but the whole idea, she said, "You guys are doing this for us." It was just overwhelming to her to mm-hmm. see that somebody that didn't live in College Hill cared about her and about her community. And to me, that is such a huge win. Working with another resident in the community who, for her entire life, had a dream of doing something for this community. With some help from her friends, she was able to open up Fresno's, which is a diner in this community, mm-hmm. has a new business in this community. It's huge. It's big. And then she actually called me one day and said, "You know, I've been thinking, as I see these houses going up now, wouldn't a park be nice?" And I said, "Yeah, it'd be great." So it's the community, it's the residents that I see, and I celebrate so much that they're really becoming involved and are taking the time to realize, you know what, this is going to happen. And it's slower than I had ever thought. When I came in, I thought, okay, let's just get this done. And I'm going, okay, now. And I have learned so much that it just, you know, it goes at a little slower than I'm used to. But big things are happening, you know. And to me, the residents, to see the residents, that's what it's mm-hmm. for. And to be able to share God's love with them. And we're able to come in as Christians and be able to share what God is doing through us. I mean, he's using us, but it's God that's doing it all.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, some of the small wins that you've seen along the way.
I would say the breaking ground on the first new home. That was phenomenal. That outside of the home that the Gambles built about 10, 12 years ago, the homes that we've started to build are the first ones in 40 plus years of new construction in this neighborhood.
Wow.
And the groundbreaking was just, for me, a huge, huge win. And so not only did we break ground 2 years ago, 2013, but we've sold two homes now to two city employees, and we have a waiting list of 12 to 15 other individuals that are somewhere in the process of becoming mortgage ready. That is big. That's a big win.
What does that mean for neighbors? What does that mean to them to have new construction, new homes, new residents coming into College Hill? What has been their response to that?
They have been over elated, overjoyed. It's been a long time coming. That's mm-hmm. what we hear. We can see the pride that has been reinstilled. I think the community has been reinvigorated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we hear. That's what we hear from the neighborhood.
Are there naysayers who say, oh, no, you can't do that?
There were.
Gail? Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, I think we converted a lot of the naysayers. once they saw ground being broken, mm-hmm. I think that was the end of most of the naysayers. It's been very positive the whole time that I've been affiliated with Lutheran Housing Support in the neighborhood. They just come up and are so thankful all the time. And then we help them do other things. So we've helped a few people secure some rehab loans in addition to help that we've given them, low interest and able to do some work on their homes. We brought some other banks to the table that want to do this work and be partners with us. And that's, you know, and it doesn't sound like a big thing if you live in West County or over on the east side like I do, but having access to capital for a home improvement loan is a big deal over here. It's no small thing.
And it was a loan product that they created just for this community or communities like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it started in this community because of the conversations we started with a couple of the financial institutions. And I'd say the other big win for me is God placing Vicar Kirschman mm-hmm. and Pastor Andrus here at this time. I think that it was just what the community needed right here at this time. God does what he needs to do on his time, and it's always the right time.
So that there is word and sacrament ministry right here in the middle of this neighborhood that the members of this congregation are a part of this neighborhood and can join right in, can come in and hear them receive the word. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. We're broadcasting live from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in College Hill. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Thank you. Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
If this doesn't send a chill up the spine of every religious person, nothing will. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin and the nation's first openly lesbian senator, has publicly said First Amendment rights apply to churches, but not to individuals. The recent Supreme Court rulings have motivated leftist individuals to go even further. Senator Baldwin said, "In institutions of faith, there is absolute power to observe deeply held religious beliefs. But I don't think it extends far beyond that. In other words, you can say whatever you want inside the church building, but keep it to yourself beyond the threshold. Any religious belief, including the sanctity of life, is at risk in America unless you and every other Christian speak out to stop them. It begins at the polls."
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
This is Pastor Herb Miller, First Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every aspect of our teaching is designed to bring comfort to penitent sinners, that is, people who are hurt and broken by sin and death and all the vicissitudes of this life. KFUO is centered around bringing this gospel into the lives of our listeners in the St. Louis area, and by means of the internet, far beyond. My wife and I, for years, have been day sponsors. Our day is June 21st. Actually, this year, we're celebrating 40 years of marriage on that day. KFUO brings the gospel into the hearts and minds and lives of so many people here and around the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to Facebook.com/KFUO Radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO Radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live today from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, College Hill, St. Louis. And we are enjoying a great conversation with our friends from Lutheran Housing Support. In a little bit, we'll get to speak with our vicar here at St. Paul's. I know he's running around taking care of things and making sure. Man, he's a busy man, takes care of things. Vicar, do you have a second or do you have to run down back downstairs?
Moment.
All right. Well, we'll do the official conversation here in just a little bit then, because I know you got to run around, but it'll be a privilege to get to have some time with Vicar Jim here in a few minutes as well. Lutheran Housing Support. Before we went to break, Nicole, we were talking about connecting to the local parish and Word and Sacrament Ministry. Which leads me to the next question. What's unique about Lutheran Housing Support?
Well, I think there's a lot of agencies or organizations, corporations that do this kind of work locally, nationally. But I think what makes Lutheran Housing Support different is that while community development work provides us the means to care for people's physical needs in the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. but the point of it all is really to marry that work with Word and Sacrament Ministry, because we not only want to care for the human and bodily needs of the people in the communities that we serve, but we also want to care for their spiritual needs. And that is the focus mm-hmm. of the work that we do. That is what guides us and guides our work.
The house that that's built with hands is the one that doesn't last forever.
Right.
We want to connect them to that eternal home. We
that
might
eternal.
Have a neighborhood and a home here in a neighborhood here in College Hill, but that's not an eternal home. The eternal home is found right, well, here in this sanctuary, as we receive God's gifts in word and sacrament, that connects us to our eternal home, and look forward to that. And thanks be to God for an organization that does that, that sees beyond these earthly needs. And that's really how you're able to meet those earthly needs. Because sometimes what seems so overwhelming in our earthly needs, really, when we get it in perspective and we see what our eternal needs are, maybe those earthly needs aren't as significant. As you work with folks out in the field, as you work with congregations and folks in the community, Fred and Gail, how do you see those? Do you hear those stories from the community as they learn about the local Lutheran congregation and that relationship is built between the local congregation and the people in the neighborhood, Fred?
We have had quite a few people who, prior to us coming here, didn't really engage with St. Paul's Church. And now you're starting to see those barriers break down somewhat. St. Paul's has been very inviting to mm-hmm. the neighborhood and the residents and community partners. And thus, when they see that, that makes them actually want to become a little bit more engaged.
Sure.
And so that's something that's one of the things, one of the main things we want to do. When we get through at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're able to help grow this church. At the end of the day, that's one of our major outcomes, the stability and growth of this church in this neighborhood.
Gail, have you had a chance to see, you feel free to move the microphone so we can all hear you a little bit, see how the neighborhood has responded to St. Paul's efforts to reach out?
I have. You know, over the past 10 years, through help with other various churches, St. John specifically in Ellisville, St. Paul has hosted many events. Christmas events where there's been some food given and some toys, events like Thanksgiving or school supplies in the summer so kids can go back to school. And it's all been here through St. Paul that they've been able to do that. And so it's really exciting to see that. And I know they're starting another event this afternoon, mm-hmm. which I'm hoping I'm going to be able to stay in and participate with. So, yeah, I've seen it, and it's been so, so important. The event that Nicole was talking about where we were doing the praise and prayer walk, we were able to pray and go out into the community and invite people to let people know, you know what, we are, there's St. Paul's and St. Paul is here and they're here for you. And we were able to pass out Bibles to people who said, I've never seen a Bible before. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's just amazing the work that St. Paul is able to do in this community.
As I was talking with Terry earlier this morning, and thinking about what you know, what it means to connect with the neighborhood, and she was describing her life growing up here in College Hill, and at a time when many families like hers were packing up and leaving, mm-hmm. and her family chose to stay in the neighborhood, and I think we all have in our minds a definition of what is a neighbor. I think how she grew up, the experience she had growing up here, shapes her perspective of and definition of what a neighbor is. does that definition of neighbor shape how you serve your neighbors? Do you see that in your work with Lutheran Housing Support? When you meet with a congregation, do they have a definition of what a neighbor is? Do they know who their neighbors are in the community? Do they know who the people right across the street or right next door are? Or is this a step for them to learn who they are?
I see it on every spectrum that there could possibly be. So there are congregations that know their communities very well. There are some that know them kind of well. And there are congregations that don't know their communities at all, because a lot of times they're in an urban setting or mm-hmm. a very rural setting, but they're a commuter church. So a lot of times the individuals don't live there anymore, but they're still, you know, physically located in the community that's sure. in most instances dying, but have a desire to serve the community. And we get those calls lots of times, like, how can we serve this community? And how can we be a good corporate citizen of this neighborhood? Because the congregation, the church, is a corporate citizen of that community. And how do we be a good corporate citizen and love our neighbors? And what can we do? And so we kind of work with them and help them think through that. And sometimes the services that we provide are not those that are needed. But we can make those other connections and facilitate those other partnerships.
Because you have a lot of friends.
We do. We're very friendly.
Well, speaking of friends and neighbors and getting to know the neighbors, Vicar Jim Kirschman, right?
Correct. Yes.
Thanks for joining us at the table here today and our conversations here on Faith and Family. I know you've been running around. You're a busy vicar. I think you should just wear tennis shoes because you seem to be running everywhere you go.
It depends on the day, but yeah.
Nice guy here, up early to let me in this morning and help me set up, provided me with the network connection I needed and everything. But it doesn't stop at that. Tell us about your vicarage here at St. Paul's and what you've been learning along the way and what's happening here as you serve as a vicar at St. Paul's College Hill?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks is that the Spirit is definitely moving in this neighborhood, and we're just running to keep up with what's going on. There have been a lot of interesting circumstances just from my being here over the last few weeks and sitting out on the front porch and having some visibility. Folks are getting used to seeing us here in the neighborhood. And
when it's hot outside like this, do you sit outside with your clerical and shorts on too?
Actually, I don't wear the clerical that much when I'm in this kind of weather, but as I'm walking around the neighborhood sometimes. On Saturday, some folks stopped by and they knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, and introduced themselves. They said that we noticed that you may have moved in here, and we wanted to let you know about a block party that we're going to be having on August 1st, and we wanted to know if the church wanted to be involved in that. And we're trying to reorient things in the neighborhood to focus on the values that the kids have and empowering them with better values. So we were wondering if the church would like to be involved in that block party. And we're like, sure. Glad you asked. But just being visible in here is opening up some opportunities like that to happen.
Now, as I understand, you have a little bit of history. Now, you're serving vicarage here, but your yes. family has a little bit of history here at St. Paul's. There's a connection.
There is a connection. My father was pastor here in 63 to 68, 69. And I was a boy here, went to St. Paul's Lutheran School here. So when I came back to visit in 2012, 2013, introduced myself, there were several people sitting in the pews going, "Hey, it's Jimmy!" Well, there went my,
your reputation. They remember the days of you crawling under the pews now.
But the Rose sisters played with my sisters. Mm-hmm. So Debbie Rose and Sharon Rose were playing with my older sisters in the place where I'm now living again. My temporary office used to be my bedroom. So it's an interesting aspect of it. What I learned since coming back is that there are a lot of nonverbal cues that you pick up on when you're growing up mm-hmm. and in communicating with people. And I just kind of slipped right back into those when I came into this neighborhood. So when you're talking with other folks, some of the gestures and even facial motions, they pick up on that and they respond to that very quickly. Whereas folks that didn't grow up in this neighborhood, they notice that very easily. So some of the conversations that I've had around the neighborhood, they go, well, you're part of this neighborhood. You know this. Well, it's been a while, but yeah.
So you know the community, know the neighborhood, you know some of the things about this. It's kind of like coming home.
It is coming home. It's exactly coming home. I always felt over the last 50 years that there was unfinished business here. So God has blessed me to be able to serve here once again.
So serving here as vicar, working with Pastor Andrus, and getting reacquainted with the community very quickly. Today, something big going on today. Tell us about what's. I know you've been busy getting ready for this event today. What's happening today?
We partnered with St. Louis Public Schools. They've got a free lunch program that goes on during the school year, but with Bryan Hill Elementary School on the other side of the property here, we've got a relationship with them. They're closed down during the summer, and they're not serving lunches. The public school system wanted to be able to continue serving lunches and approached us for being a site for that. So today we're actually serving a free lunch here, and we'll be doing that for the next couple of Thursdays, where anyone under 18 can get a free lunch, and anyone over 18 can get a lunch for $1. And so the community's been invited to come and join us downstairs for lunch today.
And people may come through the door that have never seen St. Paul's before. Maybe some that have, but people that never have. And you'll be around to hang out and visit?
Hang out and visit and see if we can establish some relationships. As you mentioned, this is coming home, and what I'm learning from talking with people in the neighborhood, when I mention the name of St. Paul's and I show them the picture on the business card, oh yeah, I know that church. I used to volunteer there all the time. Well, now's time to get started volunteering again. So there are a lot of folks who've had past relationships with this congregation that have sort of thought it was closed down and drifted away, but we're trying to re-engage them again.
What does a typical week look like here at St. Paul's?
I don't know if there's actually a typical week. on Sunday morning, we have Bible study at 9 a.m. and worship service at 10, or thereabouts, somewhere around 10. Mondays is usually a quiet day, but kind of settling in for Tuesdays. We have youth Bible instruction that starts at 5:15 here. Last fall, we started off with four children that showed up for that, and it has increased now to serving about 18 to 20 children on a week.
Wow.
So they come here for Bible instruction, a little bit of character building, and a meal afterwards. Then once a month, we hold a family movie night on Friday night and invite the community to come in for that. We've had a number of the same children show up for that, but there's always new faces with that as well. So
engaging families, engaging children from the community, just building those relationships, getting to know them. And then and Sunday mornings, the Word of God.
Yes.
Gathering around God's Word. Pastor Andrus preaches here and serves here. I gather you're preaching here pretty regularly, too?
Yes. This was my field work congregation for the last 2 years as well, so I've already got some relationships built up in here. And have used this as a preaching station quite often. So,
thanks be to God for that. That's exactly what we were talking about earlier, as Nicole was describing, that the Lutheran Housing Support is all about developing communities connected to Word and Sacrament ministry. Yeah. As you all hear Vicar talking about his vicarage and learning experience here, really, as Lutheran Housing Support staff, what do you think as you hear about the ministry that is happening here at St. Paul's? Nicole?
I think this is what it's all about. That is what our work is focused on. Again, our work doesn't mean a lot. Mm-hmm. It's all bricks and mortar, helping people. But for us, unless it's connected to Word and Sacrament ministry, it doesn't mean anything. And so we are elated again, as I shared previously, that Vicar is here, and Pastor Andres is here, and they are making a concerted effort to reach out and serve this community. And we continue to build our partnership so that our work collectively makes a difference.
Vicar, how has the neighborhood here changed since you were a child? Now, granted, as a child, I'm sure you were observant, but maybe not looking at the same things the same way you would as an adult. But do you notice things that have changed since you were a child here in the College Hill neighborhood?
Well, a number of things have gotten adjusted with the loss of housing and the loss of residents. The biggest thing that has changed is the number of businesses. Businesses have just vacated the area, so we're trying to find ways to bring businesses back into this area. And I know Lutheran Housing Support has looked at that as well. For the community to actually continue to survive and actually thrive, we're going to need some businesses in the area. When Schnucks, just down the road here, pulled out, it really hit this neighborhood hard because they've got no real access to groceries unless they get on the bus. And as I'm sitting out on my porch, I see people walking up from the bus stops carrying 5-6 bags of groceries, walking with them. So having a grocery store, some way of getting fresh produce here, is going to be huge for the for the neighborhood. That's probably the biggest thing, is the loss of businesses here.
How do you, as Lutheran Housing Support, work with do you have connections to bring business back into communities like this?
And that's what I was talking about a little earlier, Andy, was that ultimately one of our big, is really our exit strategy, is to develop a comprehensive plan that will address how we bring additional businesses. We often have talked about this neighborhood has become a food desert since Snooks left, and that is a goal of ours, to bring a grocery store and to bring other big box stores and to bring entrepreneurial opportunities into the neighborhood and develop a space where people can have a business. But one of the things that we're trying to address is safety, because I think there's a perception that the neighborhood is not safe. So if we can continue to improve the safety and security of the neighborhood, we think we have a better chance of attracting developers that can bring some of those other things that are needed here back to the neighborhood. So that's a big picture plan for us.
Now, one business has opened in the community here. Who wants to share with us a little bit about that business that's opened up, Nicole?
Well, it would be Fresno's. And Pat Woods is the owner operator of that diner. We received a loan grant request from College Hill Community Foundation. And the Community Foundation, obviously, you probably don't know because Gail didn't share. She is the president of that Community Development Corporation, and it is focuses and targets this community. And we received a grant request, and it was for women-owned businesses to assist them to start businesses. And so it wasn't a lot of money, but we granted the request. And I think Pat was the first recipient of their revolving loan fund. And when those dollars are paid back, then they will be available again to assist another woman in the community. So those small things, we can be effective and help affect change. And so we have done that. But Pat has a wonderful small diner across from the water tower, which is a historic site in this community, and she has wonderful food.
I know. I'm looking forward to trying it. I can't wait to make it over there soon.
And the other thing that's very unique, I think, for her is Pat is a lifelong resident, I think, of this community. But she actually lives right across the street from our model home, and she also employs people from the community. So not only has she started a business and that provides obviously income for her family, but she's sure. also assisting other individuals and helping their families in need. But she's also providing an unmet service in this community because she's the, besides the Chinese restaurant, is it even open? The right chop suey
across,
place?
Chop suey right across.
Okay.
It makes me very hungry.
So those two are the only restaurants in close proximity.
So more business in the community certainly would bring some energy and vibrance back into the neighborhood as well.
Absolutely, because you can't only bring rooftops.
Sure.
You have to bring business. And so as Fred shared with this comprehensive plan, I think it will be the roadmap that we need to attract other investors in this neighborhood.
With just a couple of minutes for the rest of our conversation, what are we looking forward to down the road? What are you hoping for? Where do you think, where are you hoping things are going to go in the next year, in the next couple of years? Who wants to address that? Gail?
Yeah, you know, I've been able to go with the Lutheran Housing Corporation to see what they do in New York, and Pastor Benke there gave us tours and was telling us the conditions of their community before they started doing their revitalization. And he said, you know, and he had been in College Hill, and he said, we were a lot worse, which was hard for me to imagine. I thought, oh, okay. And then I was able to go and see where they are today. And there, it's a calm neighborhood with houses. There's businesses, fire departments, libraries, everything that a community needs. And so that's what I see is going to happen. Again, like I said earlier, you know, I had hoped it was going to go speedy, but that's not happening. But I do believe it's going to happen. I believe that this is going to be a thriving community again, just like any other community where people want to live and enjoy their lives.
Very good. Vicar, what do you need to do to get an A on this vicarage? Does Nicole get to help write your grade for this?
No. Pastor Andrus does, but yeah, there is an evangelism module that's part of this. And working through a project on the evangelism module is a good piece of where we're starting right now. With the John Paul initiative that we started a couple of years ago that was part of Mission Shift, we began to develop the infrastructure that we're putting into place now. But the other piece of it is drawing more folks in and engaging the community a little bit more. We're still, you know, trying different things and seeing what works, but there's a long path sure. ahead of us. So,
how can we find out more about St. Paul's College Hill?
Most likely through the website, okay. stpaulscollegehill.org.
Very good. Nicole, how can we find out more about Lutheran Housing Support?
At www.nationalhousingsupport.org, or you can call our offices at 314-996-1376. Or you call me, 314-996. That was my number. 314-996-1389 is our office number, and 314-996-1376 is my personal number.
Wow. Phone numbers galore. Websites, nationalhousingsupport.org. You can check it out as well. Thank you all for being my guest, for the invitation to come over here and spend some time at St. Paul's College Hill. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Gail Olson is a volunteer with Lutheran Housing Support. And
Anybody can volunteer, and they're
always
welcome.
Just a volunteer. Nicole Ridley with Lutheran Housing Support, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Fred Kimbrough, Lutheran Housing Support, thank you. And Vicar Kirschman, thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Well, I'll send it back to you in the studio, Buzz. Thanks for keeping things running at the studio for us. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.